I came to Krishna consciousness quite late. I joined in 76 and Srila Prabhupada left in 77. And it was in 77, around this time, in Mayapur, that I met Tamal Krishna Maharaj for the first time. He was Prabhupada's secretary. And I used to see him from a distance. And I used to admire him. He looks always looks so majestic. He was so handsome. He was so charismatic, so grave. I didn't really have any opportunity to come close to him at that time. I was just seeing him from a distance. And at around that time, I had the good fortune of rendering some service to Srila Prabhupada. During my first meeting with Srila Prabhupada, he asked me to translate his books into Bengali. And that allowed me to come close to him. Like from time to time, I would bring the works that I have done, the translations that I have done, and I used to read them out to Srila Prabhupada. And he used to correct me. Sometimes he used to appreciate the translation. Then at around that time, Srila Prabhupada gave me another service. He gave me a stack of Bengali letters and he asked me to reply them. Like, I used to read the letters out to Srila Prabhupada and then Prabhupada used to give me the points, how to reply. And then I would make a draft of the reply, come and read it out to Srila Prabhupada. And then Srila Prabhupada used to give the final letter and then I would write them on Prabhupada's letterheads and then Prabhupada used to sign them. So this actually brought me close to Srila Prabhupada. And at that time also I did not really have much association of Srila Prabhupada. Much association of Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Although he was Prabhupada's secretary and I was, like he was too lofty, too high, too great for an individual like me to approach him. And he also maintained certain degree of gravity, like which didn't allow me to, like, I didn't dare to come close to him. But then Prabhupada, when the Bengali stack of letters were answered, then Prabhupada gave me a stack of Hindi letters and asked me to reply them. And during that time, probably Srila Prabhupada was a little pleased with me, with my service, that service. And then one afternoon, after I finished writing those letters. So then Prabhupada gave me a stack of Hindi letters to reply. And during that time, when I was replying those Hindi letters, one day Srila Prabhupada told me that from now on, I will appoint you as my secretary for Indian affairs. And then he called Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And then he told him also the same thing. And he suggested that I move to the room which was Tamal Krishna Maharaj's room, Prabhupada's secretary's room. And this was some inconceivable stroke of good fortune for me. And That's the time I started to get to know Tamal Krishna Maharaj. I remember the first consideration was, there were two beds in that room, and I didn't feel like sleeping on the same level with Tamal Krishna Maharaj, so I suggested that I sleep on the floor. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj very graciously suggested, no, no, you sleep there, the other bed is there. And since that time, I had a feeling that I got a wonderful shelter. Of course, Srila Prabhupada's shelter was there, but there was the shelter of another personality. And that gave a very wonderful reassurance, I must say, in my spiritual life. The other day I was talking to Carl. Carl was telling me that how from his childhood, Tamal Krishna Maharaj kind of gave him the shelter. And he was remembering, like when he was learning to swim, it was Tamal Krishna Maharaj who was actually holding him to teach him how to swim. And I was recalling that I also had the same or a similar feeling that here is the shelter, here is the assurance, here is the safety. And many devotees have a feeling that Tamal Krishna Maharaj was very heavy, and I also saw how heavy Tamal Krishna Maharaj could be. But one thing I noticed, that he was never heavy with me. He chastised me, but that was very mild compared to what he often could be. And I also felt that he was like the elder brother, and I always behaved like a younger brother, younger to him, surrendered to him, depending upon him. And when actually by age I was 1 year older than Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And when he got to know that, he was quite surprised and shocked. And he told me that you are older than me. I said, maybe by the calculation, material calculation, but I am always younger to you, dependent upon you. And that's how I always felt. Like I always felt that he was such an exalted personality, such an exalted devotee. And especially the kind of relationship that he had with Srila Prabhupada was very awe-inspiring. Like those days I was just a new devotee, a few months in the movement. Of course I had the good fortune of being close to Srila Prabhupada. But still, I mean, I was just a few months in the movement, and that was the reality. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj was like Prabhupada's man all the way. Like he was not only his right-hand man, he was his man. Like I remember often I used to be with Srila Prabhupada in the morning hours, and when Prabhupada would wake up, the first thing he would ask, where is Tamal? And then I would run and get Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj would come and start to speak to Srila Prabhupada. And it would be so deep, so intimate. Often what was going on between them was flew above my head. I couldn't really figure out what was going on. But one thing just remained very deeply ingrained in my mind since then, that he was someone very, very close to Srila Prabhupada. And the kind of questions he would ask Srila Prabhupada, I mean, it was really mind-blowing. I couldn't think that anybody could probe so deep into the affairs of our movement. Oftentimes, Prabhupada would discuss with him about the movement, about the future of the movement, about the management of the movement. And he was so, Tamalakrishna Maharaj was so brilliant, he would ask such probing questions. And I felt very fortunate. To some extent, I think I felt some sort of pride that I had the good fortune of being so close to such an exalted personality. And I had the good fortune of being with him for 10 months in one room. Wherever we went, we stayed in the same room. It started off in Mayapur, then we went to Bombay, then we went to Rishikesh, then we went to Vrindavan. And wherever we went, Tamalakrishna Maharaj made it a point that I stayed in the same room with me, same room with him. And there are so many memories. Today the time is short, I won't take too much time. There are other exalted speakers who also had very, very close relationship with Tamalakrishna Maharaj. But I'll just recall one or two incidents that remain often I reflect on. One thing is that, like, I used to see, like, Tamalakrishna Maharaj's exalted position was displayed by many actions. Like one thing, although it may sound quite insignificant or silly even, but I mean, it was very striking about his personality. I was even thinking about it now. Like, see, Tamalakrishna Maharaj's tilak, isn't it perfect? And you know something? He always put on his tilak without a mirror. He would just take the tilak and smear it, and he would do it. And he would get a perfect tilak. I never seen him using a mirror while putting on his tilak. And you can see this one, not only this one, that picture also is perfect. He was so meticulous, so perfect in his, in whatever he did. Like once I was in Dallas, and from Dallas we went to Oklahoma. There was a Ratha Jatra festival. Those days in Oklahoma there was a farm, and the Ratha Jatra was supposed to be there. So Tamalakrishna Maharaj invited me to Ratha Jatra. Oh, before that, something happened also. Yeah, we all were in Gita Nagari Ratha Jatra. And I was asked to give the class on that day, the Ratha Jatra day. So I gave the class in the morning. And Tamalakrishna Maharaj was so... he became so interested that he told me that, look, you have to come to Oklahoma Ratha Jatra and you have to tell the story of Jagannath. And then I went. It was, I think, about a month after that. So I again repeated that story of Jagannath's appearance. The story actually consisted of three aspects of Jagannath. One was the Jagannath's appearance as it appeared in Skanda Puran. Then another aspect of Jagannath's appearance, that or Jagannath as such, by the way Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur narrated it. And the third aspect was the way it has been described in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, after I narrated the story, Tamalakrishna Maharaj and I were taking breakfast together. He said, you know something? I was thinking of writing a drama. And Now I got the theme. I'm going to write the drama on Jagannath's appearance. And so we started to work together on that. But he took the time to study the entire Natya Shastra of Rupa Goswami. He got that translated. He asked me to translate. He also got me to translate Lalita Madhav by Rupa Goswami. That was another incident. Like, we all, after the Mayapur festival, we generally used to go to Rishikesh. And we used to stay in the same house where Prabhupada stayed those days during his last visit to Rishikesh. And we used to have a lot of fun. And Tamalkrishna Maharaj used to invite other devotees also. So generally we used to have a lot of fun. But this time, he gave me the assignment to translate Lalit Madhav. And he gave me 7 days. That 7 days that we were in Rishikesh, he wanted me to translate that book. That meant that I didn't have any time for anything. When they were having a lot of fun in the Ganges, swimming and floating with the logs, I was just sitting there translating. So he got me to translate Lalita Madhav. He got a professional person to translate the Natya Shastra of Rupa Goswami. And when he had all these materials ready, then only he embarked on writing the Jagannath Priya Natak. Rupa Goswami in his Natya Shastra gives a very, very scientific understanding of Natya Shastra, or the art of drama, right? And this, how different mellows must blend with each other in order to ultimately culminate to the conclusion. And he followed all that through that drama of Jagannath Priya. So Jagannath Priya was written. Now he told me that, look, we have to enact it now. And we started to work in America, approaching different devotees, if they could actually produce that. Those days in our movement, there were quite a few drama groups. Like, there was a group of drama in New York, the actors and actresses in New York, there was a group in New York, there was a group in San Francisco, a group in Berkeley. But none of them actually could embark on this project because they couldn't commit themselves. So then I told him that, why don't you try to do it in India? And so I came back to Calcutta and I started to organize this group. And we got semi-professionals and made a team, made a group. And we had, in 1986, for Mahaprabhu's 500th anniversary, we had that drama enacted both in English and Bengali in the Samadhi, and also we had a performance in Calcutta. And those days, Ramakrishna Maharaj stayed in Calcutta for 1.5 months, directing the actors and actresses in performing that drama personally. Every evening, from 5 to 7 or 8 o'clock sometimes, he was always there. Like, this is Tamakrishna Maharaj. Whatever he did is perfect. As Mother Sitala was telling him about cooking, that he wanted to make sure that she was going to make it perfect. And he made it a point that she did it in a perfect way. So, and that is Tamakrishna Maharaj. Whatever he did was immaculate, was perfect. His Holiness Tamalkrishna Goswami Maharaj, he